not to be continued, hopefully not after today. So I want to share the rest of the sermon from last time I shared. How many of you remember what it was? Out of curiosity. My wife remembers. Anybody else? Yes, Timothy, what was the subject matter? Our gifts, or the gift that God has given each one of us. So I want to talk to you a little bit, maybe just a refresher, especially for if there was anybody that wasn't here. To get the context. So we talked about actually the passage is Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 and following, and we've focused on verse 6, which is, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And so, do you think you have a gift? Did God give you a gift as a Christian? And that was some of the things we talked about, what the various gifts are and how that God wants us to care for that gift. And today we want to look a little more in that aspect as far as how to care for the gift or to get rid of what may be blocking the gift that God has placed within you. I believe that God, if you are a Christian, if you have been born again, God has given you a gift. He gave you a gift that may be unique to you as a person. And we talked about how that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the body as it pleases Him and so on. So, you know what, I forgot to put my clicker in here. Here we go. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, and I should have kept this out. I wanted to see if you remembered what that word "gift" actually translates from the Greek. I found it very interesting to notice this. Neglect not the charisma that is in thee, and so I said, well, maybe the charismatics aren't as far off as we want to think they are, because when God comes into a person, He puts within them a charisma. He puts within them something that is supernaturally empowered. And so that's what that word means. Neglect not the charisma that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And so I'm not sure what all that means. That was Paul speaking from something that they had done to Timothy that we don't really have details about. Just a heads up for you today, I would like to do two things. This service may be a little out of the box, maybe, or at least we'll give God the opportunity to take it out of the box if He wants to. But I would like to give opportunity to you as brothers and sisters, if you want to recognize and bless a gift that you see in your brother or sister. I would like to give time for that at some point. You just raise your hand and say, I'd like to bless brother or sister so-and-so and pray a blessing upon the gift that God has given that person. Because part of caring for the gift is us caring for each other and caring for that gift in each other. And maybe we first have to talk about the main subject for today, which is, for God hath not given us the spirit of, you say it, fear. And maybe you're afraid to do that. Maybe you're afraid to step outside of the box and bless your brother or sister. And maybe I'll just take this opportunity. I want to really thank the brothers and sisters that did that for us on Sunday night. that meant so much to me. While I felt kind of like a big crybaby, you know, it was such a blessing because I came here to church one way and left in another way. Because you were willing to form a circle around my wife and I, pray for us, tears and prayers of compassion and blessing. And that changed me especially. And so I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here this morning and you're carrying a burden, you're carrying a fear, doesn't necessarily have to be relating to the sermon today, but if you're carrying something that is heavy and disheartening and troubling, you can leave here today, leave that burden here, or leave it at the cross. And I just want to see us be able to exercise that. Because God is love. Thank you. Thank you, Boaz, for that. Is he? Yeah, you're back there. By the way, just be prepared. I might use you, in the sermon. If you're okay with it, I think you are. So God wants us to come to him with our cares. You know, we can do that personally. Sometimes we need help. We need our brothers and sisters to help us carry those things to him, to help us develop the gift that God has given us. And I would also say this. I'm not sure if I said this here or not. I think I said it in Honduras. I shared this part of the sermon with the missionaries. And God has not given all of the gifts to one person. That simply means that he designed his body, the church, with many gifts, but he did not give them all to one person. So we need each other. Together we bring this beautiful picture before the Lord, before the world, of what God is doing in his church. As we function together, as we love each other, as we care for each other, as we help each other develop those undeveloped gifts that God has placed within his body, the church. Does that make sense? If you have any questions as we go along, feel free to raise your hand and we'll take your questions as well. How am I caring for the gift? Now, we're doing just a little bit of review. I want to just give a little bit of background. You may have kind of, it might be a little foggy in your minds. How am I caring for the gift that God has given me? Here we see a picture of a little plant with water, fertile ground, and there is someone that is caring for that little plant. When you plant seeds in your garden, you know what happens. You put the seed in the ground. If you go away for 3 months and come back, are you going to have a crop? No. Especially not in our garden. Our garden has weeds like crazy. So if we plant seeds, we got to pull the weeds. And if it doesn't rain, we got to put the water there. We care for it and we help it grow. We can never put the seed of life in that plant. We don't even think about that, do we? How can I put a little bit of life in this plant so that it grows? The seed of life is already there. And it's the same way with us as Christians. When God puts his life within us, the life is there. The potential for a crop is there. But it needs care and cultivation and development. God could do all of that, but he has chosen not to. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in thee. It was Timothy's responsibility to stir up that gift. How am I caring for that gift in my brother or sister? You should not only be focused or just focusing on yourself, but you should also look around. How can I care for the gift that God has given my brother or sister? What can I do to help that life grow and develop in my brother or sister? That is, I believe, what the church should look like. Many times, maybe our church experiences where the life is being killed and smothered by negativity and criticism and all of those things that Satan wants to use, accusations that Satan wants to use to destroy that gift that God has put within each one of us into his church. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. How do we stir up that gift? Let it become a passion. Let it. That's basically all we have to do because we cannot make the life, right? God puts his life inside of us and then we let it grow. That make sense? We let it grow. The potential is there. The power is there. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to let that life, to bring forth that life. Our responsibility is to let it grow. The Holy Spirit is an enabling power that moves people under His influence in the direction of God's will and character as we yield ourselves to Him. And that's why, as a pastor, it's very important, pastors, that we understand that when a person has the Holy Spirit, we are just there to encourage that life. We can't make it grow. We can't, you know, develop the life or cause the life, if that makes sense. We cannot put that spark of life in there. It's already there. And as we encourage it to grow, it will develop into what God has intended. So our job is to encourage and to bless and water. What did Paul say? I watered, another one planted, I watered, something to that effect. But it is God that giveth the increase. So we must understand that principle. How do you develop the talent? What is our part? Study the subject. If God has given you a gift, if you have an interest in a given subject or direction, accumulate the knowledge. It's very important. And make an effort. Make an effort to exercise that gift. Exercise it. Accept and learn from mistakes. Often we might do all of these and we put it to exercise and then we make a mistake and then we shut it down. Because we're so concerned about making mistakes and what that makes us look like that we're afraid to continue and to accept and learn from the mistakes. It is my responsibility to stir up the gift. Okay, let's go to verse 7, and I'll have a question for the children here in just a moment. Maybe we'll just do it right now. If you look at this picture, children, if I could have your attention, what is happening with this person? He is what? Hey, did I hear it? Afraid. This person is very fearful. You can see it in her forehead. You can see it in her eyes. You can see it in the clenched fists. Now, if you go to verse 7 of chapter 1, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Today, I want to talk a good bit about fear. Maybe you get tired of hearing me talk about fear. This is a personal journey that I'm still on, believe it or not. God has peeled away, I believe, many layers of my personal fears. But I still struggle with fear in various forms. Is there anyone here that does not struggle with fear in any form? If you are, I would love to walk beside you. Maybe I can learn something. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Is there something in verse 7 that can hinder or destroy God's gift in us? What is it? Anybody? Surely you know. The spirit of fear. I personally, and as I was reflecting on my own life last night and this morning some, I was thinking about all of the things. All of the things. I was thinking back over my life about all of the things that possibly God wanted to use me personally for, but I was too afraid. Think about your life. How many things in your life has God wanted to do with you, but I'm afraid of. I wouldn't know what else. Self-consciousness, fear. Maybe I'm not seeing it right, but I would. I don't know what else. If people that don't have fear generally are not self-conscious, are they? I mean, I know a few people. I thought of Steve Stutzman. I don't know if he has any fear or not. If he does, it's very small. And he's not self-conscious. And I know for myself, the less fear I have, the less self-conscious I am. So self-consciousness is, I would say, rooted in fear, probably a fear of becoming vulnerable, a fear of people knowing something that we don't want them to know, maybe, or just, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, I would say so. So how many things has God wanted to do with my life, with your life, but fear stands in the way? Fear stood in the way in your past. Fear is still standing in the way today. Something that we should ask ourselves. And the other heads up I want to give to you is just be thinking about this. So if God speaks to you this morning, is speaking to you, and you realize I have this fear in my life that I would like to get rid of, I'm going to give you opportunity to come up front or raise your hand. You can do it in your seat too. Raise your hand and we'll pray for you. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So that is God's provision for us. He has made the provisions for us to live a life that is free from fear. How much of kingdom work is neglected because we are afraid? I'm afraid of what people might say. I'm afraid of what people might think. I'm afraid of what people might do. And we don't move forward. How many blessings are never realized because we are living under the power of fear? How many of you know that fear has power? Tremendous power. Hitler controlled the masses by fear. The Soviet Union controlled the masses by fear. Today, fear is still used as a manipulative force in governments and those types of administration. What about in the Church of Jesus Christ? How many times is fear used as a manipulator by church leaders? And if that is the case, if that's my case, God grant me repentance. We would not manipulate people, especially the Church of Jesus Christ, by fear. But how many blessings are never realized because we are living under the power of fear? How many times, and if I've heard this, I'm just going to bring this up to you, you think maybe it's painful to you, but I'm going to anyways. How many times have you stood in church and you were filled with worship and you would have liked to lift your hands in praise, but you were afraid? How many times have you done something like that? You hear it sometimes after church. I almost did such and such. Well, why didn't you? Well, the answer is you were afraid, or I was afraid. I should have raised my hand and gave a testimony. I should have prayed for brother or sister such and such. But we don't because we're afraid. May God help us to slay that dragon of fear and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take the place of that fear, where we are motivated and empowered by the Spirit of God and not the spirit of fear. Notice the words or subjects that Paul used to contrast the spirit of fear. And I'm not sure if I have this here. Paul was writing to Timothy, I think, for a reason. And he was talking to Timothy about fear, because I'm reading between the lines. I think Timothy was a man that was possibly given to fear. You know, somewhere in Timothy it says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. He possibly had a problem with a nervous stomach. And maybe he was having stomach ulcers because of he was afraid. He had the stress of church leadership. And he was a young man called to lead out in ordaining elders. And he was called to a great work in the church. But he may have been a timid man. It's you're reading between the lines, you would think probably that Timothy was a timid man. And Paul was writing to Timothy and was saying, God has not given us that spirit of timid school teacher. Timidity. Didn't sound right. What? How do you say that? Timidity? Something like that. Better just stay away from that word. But he has not given us that spirit of being timid. Or that spirit of fear, that's actually what this word fear kind of roots back to, the spirit of being timid. How many of you don't have to raise your hands, but think about it. When you go out to Bedford, when you go about your business and you think about, you watch people and you see a need here. Here's a man that needs the Lord Jesus. Here's somebody that maybe I should pray for, but you're overtaken by the spirit of being timid or fearful. I just think about that. I was just thinking about all of the things that God wants to do with me, all of the things that He wants to do with this congregation, all of the things that He wants to do with churches in general. How much of the work is not going forward because we are afraid? Think about the Israelites. We were talking about them a little bit this morning. When they came up to the land of promise, God had given them a specific promise to be able to enter into the land of Canaan and enjoy all of the blessings that He had outlined to them and told them about. Why did they not go in? They were afraid. They were afraid of the giants. They said, "We can't do this." They were afraid. And they had the God of the universe on their side. Well, how much different is it for us today? We have the God of the universe on our side, but we cannot step forward because we're afraid. May God help us. I hope this time can just be an eye-opening time for all of us, that we would recognize the power of fear in our lives, if it's there, and break free from it. And think about the alternative. So what are the words or subjects? Power. And this word power is especially rooted in miraculous power. And I believe Paul was referring back to the Holy Spirit. We all claim as Christians to have the Holy Spirit, don't we? Because we know the scripture that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're none of His. But how much power is coming out of our life? How much miraculous Holy Spirit power is working in us, is manifesting itself? The question we need to ask ourselves. Paul, when he came to the Corinthians, said, I wasn't here with fancy words, but I showed you the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a power that is available for all those that come to God. Love, the very presence and essence of God. I so much appreciated that devotional this morning on reflecting on the love that God extends, not because of who we are, not because of how we perform, but because God is love. Read 1 John if you want more of a revelation on how loving God is, and the harmony between us and God should speak of the same kind of love. The same kind of love that God extended to us flows through us to others. This is an alternative to the spirit of fear. God wants us to get rid of the fear, and He wants us to experience and develop the alternative, which is power and love and a sound mind. What is a sound mind? How many of you have sound minds this morning? No crazy people here. None of us thinks we're crazy, even if we are sometimes. We don't think so. And this is a scary thing about it. But we all have sound minds. I think all of us here this morning have a sound mind that's working the way it should be. However, I would propose to you, if your mind is under the influence of fear, it is an unsound mind, sorry. And I'm speaking to myself. But when our minds are controlled by fear, our minds become unsound, right? Does it make sense? So if we have a lot of fear, we do irrational things, right? When we're under the control of fear, we do things that we would not normally do. When our mind is sound. And so, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but... And I'm speaking to myself. I put myself right with you. If there's anyone here that's struggling with fear, I know what this is like. Irrational mind processes, because we are under the control of the spirit of fear. And that is actually, I think, what Paul was saying. He was saying, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He gave us a sound mind. And sound minds are minds that are free from fear. I had some more on that one. Not quite sure what it was. Free from fear. They are disciplined. Maybe I have it coming up later. Unregenerate minds are unsound minds. Sound minds are minds that are transformed by the Holy Spirit power and a Christ-like value system. Minds that are yielded possessed by the Holy Spirit, our minds that are clean, disciplined, controlled, and generally fearless. So that's the description of a sound mind. We would all like to subscribe to a sound mind, and I think we have sound minds for the most part, unless we're being controlled by fear. There's an unsoundness in that. How many of us are paralyzed? When you see a paralyzed person, it's always very painful. You've seen them. You've seen them on wheelchairs. You've seen paralyzed people. They can't move. They can't move their hands. They can't move their legs if you're fully paralyzed. You cannot feed yourself. You cannot do what needs to be done because you're paralyzed. How many Christians are paralyzed? How many of us are paralyzed in the spiritual sense? Where the Holy Spirit wants to move through our hands, our feet, our mouth, but we're paralyzed. Something happened that created this paralysis. That may be fear. Fear does that. Spiritual paralysis can be caused by fear. Fear stops progress, right? We all understand it's very basic. If you're afraid, you're not going to move ahead, for the most part. Fear stops progress. Fear hinders the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not move, I'm sorry, but He won't move in our lives, in my life, in your life, if we're filled with fear. It closes the door for Him to move. It paralyzes His operation in our lives. All of us want to be filled as Christians. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, we have that desire to be filled and to be moved by the Holy Spirit. But if fear is controlling us, we cannot move forward. Here, I had a couple. I gave you these a little bit earlier. Maybe Timothy felt insecure in the calling that God had on his life. Maybe you know, and this is different for everyone, but maybe you know God has called you to something. He has called you, has given you a calling. There's a calling on your life. And it can be many, many different things. But He has called you to something. And you feel insecure. And it's because of fear. Fear will cause that. Maybe he struggled with feelings of inadequacy and inferiority. Do you feel inadequate and inferior? You don't have to raise your hand, but probably there's some of us that do. We feel inadequate and inferior. And we struggle with that. Those are fear-based. God wants us to be secure in who and what He is calling us to. And hopefully I can give you a few pointers later. Maybe he was nervous and stressed out over the responsibility of church leadership and so on. And it would make perfect sense if I think about my experience as a church leader. These are normal tendencies, becoming nervous and stressed out because of working with people. And I've said this in conversations with other church elders or pastors, you know, and the conversation might go like this. Well, we might be talking about something regarding humans. And so I usually say, well, you know, it's not like me working on my trailers when I can just cut a piece of steel, fit it in, and weld fast. It doesn't argue with me. It does exactly what I want it to do. But human beings, thankfully, are not like that. While sometimes it causes frustration in our relationships, let's be thankful that God has made us the way He made us. And it's for bringing glory and honor to His name. But we must understand that in our human relationships, these are the normal processes that we go through on all levels, whether it's school teacher or parents or church elders or whatever. Spirit of fear. The power of the Holy Spirit can be hindered and restricted. Isn't that amazing? That we can actually stop the work of God in our lives. Isn't God all powerful, sovereign, almighty? But He has chosen to limit Himself to our cooperation in His building, His church. God will have a church, and there will always be people that will cooperate. But me personally, I can stop the work of God in my life, in my family's life, and in whatever responsibility and gifting that God has given me That can be stopped by what? The spirit of fear. When we give in to the spirit of fear and intimidation, who gives us the spirit of fear? Somebody tell us. I'll ask the children. Who gives us the spirit of fear? Back there, Dorothy. Satan. He is the one that gives us the spirit of fear. Let's not listen to Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Fear hinders the development of God's masterpieces. We all love a masterpiece of art, don't we? A masterpiece of music. Masterpieces are valuable. God considers you one of his masterpieces. Amen? Little light. The voices inside our heads say, no, I'm not. I couldn't possibly be one of God's masterpieces. God has chosen each one of you as a masterpiece. So when you walk through Bedford, do people say, whoa, there goes a godly masterpiece? Or do they? What do they say when they see you? God is building a masterpiece with you, with your life. Are you cooperating, or are you saying, I'm afraid? And God cannot move forward in his masterpiece process. Power is available to overcome the spirit of fear. Consent to fear neutralizes the power of the Holy Spirit and gives access. If we give in to our fear, we open the door of access for Satan's demons to destroy or stop God's gift in us. I believe this very strongly. We open the door by giving in to fear. That is something that we must be vigilant about. When Satan comes with the fears, oh, you can never do that. I'm afraid of such and such. Those are words of Satan. And I don't want you to become overly self-confident or anything like that. But walk forward in the power and in the love and in the sound mind. Giving in to fear paralyzes the spiritual man. Okay, combating the spirit of fear. Love is the presence of God. When you're filled with love, there's no room for fear. No room for fear when you're filled with love. When we are connected to God, love flows through us and moves us forward in development of God's gift that he has placed in us. One of the things that is on my mind constantly the last while, especially in responsibility of sharing with you like I'm doing here this morning and going to Honduras and wherever I go, is to place yourself in a position where God can flow through you. Previous to that, more of my thought processes would have more of consisted, how can I do this? How can I be this? How can I? While there's a place for that, some of that, it is more about placing ourselves in a position where God can flow through us. And this, in turn, will develop God's gift that he has already placed in us. If we can just learn to place ourselves in position, God will do the rest of the work. There is no fear. Let's say it together. Why don't you stand and read this together with me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You may sit down. How could it be said any plainer? This is what Paul was writing to Timothy about. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. So it's just index to my own heart and life. When I'm filled with fear, it simply means that God's love is not perfect in me. Does that mean that God is not happy with me? Does that mean that God now hates me? No. God loves me the same. He is still loving me with the same degree of love, whether I'm perfect in love or imperfect in love. That is very, very comforting to me. And so as we reflect on who I am before God, you're secure in how much God loves you. It actually provides a greater foundation for God to continue his work in you. But if you believe the voices that God doesn't care for me because my fear is not, I have a lot of fear in my life, so it must be God doesn't care. It's just a downward spiral from there. And so may God help all of us to understand that, give all of us that revelation. Love is a much stronger force and motivator than the power of fear. Sound minds are used by the Holy Spirit for kingdom development. Sound minds are minds that are yielded to the Holy Spirit. They are minds that are clean, disciplined, controlled, and generally fearless. Minds that are driven by fear are unsound minds. It's a little bit rough. So how do I get rid of my fear? I know all this stuff. I'm one of those people. You know all this stuff in your head, but the reality is you're still struggling with your fear. How do I get rid of my fear? You want to be a fearless person. You want to allow God to move you forward in his development of the gift that he's placed within you. How do I get rid of my fear? Any ideas? Yes. Okay. Choosing to believe the word of God. Excellent question or answer. Simply choosing to believe, because we can say yes, Lord, or no, Lord, and it has consequences. Karen, you had your hand up. Scripture. Okay. Yes. Good. So replacing those voices that are false voices with voices of truth or with words of truth from God's word. Yes, excellent. Any other ideas? Yes, Thelma. Deliver you from evil. What about the prayer that Jesus, deliver us from evil? When we verbalize and pray those prayers, it brings power into our life. Yes, Elam. I think so. I think true believing, if that's a correct term, is trust. When you really believe something, you trust it, right? We could use lots of scenarios to talk about that. Anything else? How do I get rid of the fears in my life? Bravery, okay. Facing your fear. Yeah. Good. That's great. I think I have something here coming up. Maybe we are afraid to face our fears. We're afraid to face our fears. That's what you call, I think, the ultimate fear problem. You know you have a fear, but you're afraid to face your fear. Not a good place to be. So here's a couple things. How do I get rid of my fear? Recognizing, first of all, being honest with myself and my brothers and sisters. There is tremendous strength in carrying each other through these times, just like happened to us the other night. When we gather around each other and that person is willing to step out and say, I have this problem, I'm afraid, I'm whatever, and you verbalize and you're honest and I need help, and we gather around each other and we pray with each other, we speak words of blessing, we speak words of encouragement, and we tell that person, look, you can do this, you know, a little like Heidi was saying, to their children. You can do this. Encouragement. And we don't stand there and say to that person, well, how can you be so stupid, you know? How can you not understand? I hope we don't anyways, because you will destroy people like that. You will destroy the life that God has placed within each of us if we do that kind of thing. But we come along and we encourage each other. We lift up the feeble knees and the hands that hang down and so on. And again, reflecting on Paul's words to Timothy, Paul was a tremendous encourager to Timothy. If you read Timothy, you read Corinthians even, If you know the history of the Corinthian church, they were seriously messed up. I mean, they had big problems in their church, but Paul came along and he did address their problems, but he also encouraged them. He was a great encourager. So, being honest with ourselves before our brothers and sisters, asking for help, making myself vulnerable. You know, when we raise our hand and say, I have this problem, we become very vulnerable. And hopefully you can do that in the context of compassionate, loving brothers and sisters. I need help. Can you brothers and sisters help me, please, with this problem in my life? And in that circle, many times there's tears shed and there is prayers prayed and words of blessing. Those are ways that we can get rid of the fear that we're struggling with. So making myself vulnerable, giving encouragement to each other. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. When fear is in our life, many times we're ashamed. Many times we're intimidated. And when we're fearless, we can't be intimidated. We can't be ashamed because we're fearless. So I think it's interesting to notice what Paul said following those words of encouragement. You have saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And yet, God laid it all out. He told us what his intentions are for his children from the beginning of the world. But if we give in to the spirit of fear, that process for us personally is stopped. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe, Elam referred to the God of the universe this morning, that has done such great and wonderful things and laid out the plan for redemption for humanity even before he created the earth, and had his own purpose in mind for each one of us personally. If we give in to the spirit of fear, that process stops. To me, that's amazing. I was going to say awesome. It's not awesome in the sense of a positive awesome, but it's awesome to realize that as we do not cooperate, we can foil the purpose of the God of the universe. Fear stopped the Israelites from experiencing the promises that God had given them. God had assured them over and over, I'm going to take you out of Egypt into the land of promise. When they came right up to it, and they had to cross the border into the land of Canaan, they stopped because of fear. And thousands of real human beings had to turn around and go back into the wilderness and lay their carcass down in the wilderness because someone was afraid. Very challenging, I think. I think that's my last slide. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, if you look at the contrast between the big lion and the little child, there is, humanly speaking, physically speaking, who will win that match? The lion. He'll definitely win the match. But the difference in these two is the lion and the child. This child has God with him. And Jesus said, I want you to become like little children. I want you to become like little children. And that's how you enter the kingdom. We don't put on the lion and fight. We become the vulnerable little child that has his hand in the Heavenly Father's hand. That is how we move forward in the battle. So many times we get caught up in our own strength, our own abilities, our own, whatever it might be. And we fall prey to the lion because we are no match for the lion of ourselves. But with God within us, with God with us, the lion has to flee. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.